Guys, Roland here. It's close to a new moon, and you know what that means. I get to have a conversation with a special guest of mine that you are already familiar with, who's going to tell us what this new moon has in store for us. You get to meet her right after this.
Welcome to Conversations with Roland, where the goal of this show is to learn life secrets through diverse experiences. I am your host, Roland Achenjang.
Guys, welcome to another episode of Conversations with Roland. As always, I am super excited to record these conversations, and today's no different. Today with me is a guest you're already familiar with, here to talk to us about the new moon starting on Saturday, December 4th. I always have to look at those dates. Saturday, December 4th, 2021. And I'm talking about none other than my very good friend, Wendy Wrights. Wendy, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Roland. How are you?
I'm doing great. You can tell I'm doing really great. I don't even know the date of when the new moon's going to happen. That's not good.
I have to say this last moon cycle of Mars and Pluto, I think has kind of woken everyone up. And we're just a little disoriented and we're ready for Jupiter's beauty, which is coming up.
I have to agree. I'm super ready for Jupiter's beauty. You asked me how I was doing at the beginning, and I said I'm doing great. And I'm doing great, but that's tremendously because we've spent about an hour and a half just talking, right? And that whole time of talking has been very healing, and it's been very nice. I've enjoyed sharing a lot of my, I guess, issues with you and a lot of the new realizations about my shadow self that have come up. We've had great insights about different ways of viewing sort of life in general. And at this point in time, I feel great, but you're right, last week was intense. Yeah. Crazy intense. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I'm ready for Jupiter's beauty. Before we get into that, Wendy, we usually try to recap, the last moon cycle and kind of speak to how it's prepared us for this new moon cycle that's going to begin here on Saturday. And so, as you always do, please tell us what the last moon cycle was about and what's in store for us.
Okay, so we just did from the full moon to this new moon, and that involves the full moon week and the third quarter week. And this is all a receptive impulse for this moon cycle. And what that is assimilating emotional belief within us. And it's assimilating a whole new way of us being, which is what our full moon realization is. And in this particular moon cycle, we're dealing with a double whammy, what we call, because in the year, we're in the reorientation aspect and release. And then also, in this moon cycle is that also. And so it's a lot about our consciousness reorienting itself. And when our consciousness reorients itself, it changes the way we put together things. It changes the way we understand things. So we have this kind of, we feel a little unsettled and we feel as though we can't connect the dots the way we used to. And really, that's okay, because that's what spiritual growth is all about, is getting the dots to come together in a certain way and going, oh, okay, I understand everything. And then we go through another cycle and they all get thrown out of, the way they connect. And then we put them together in a new way. And then it happens again and it happens again. And that's really what spiritual growth is all about, is we blow apart the way we perceive ourselves and know ourselves and understand ourselves, and then we put it together in a new way. And every time we put it together in a new way, we are learning more about our true self, our higher self, the more divine aspect of who we are. And so with this Mars and Pluto's moon cycle, it was really bringing up a lot of our deeper desires that we deny or avoid or discard, everything that we don't want to look at. And so it brings it up into our conscious awareness. We have to look at it. Then it changes our emotional belief about ourselves, and we have to process all that. And so from the full moon to during this third quarter week, that's really what we've been doing. So, and we're doing that in the on the higher level of the year too. So it makes it a lot more intense, is basically what it is. And you might be having dreams, and you kind of wake up and go, what the heck was that all about? You know, where did that come from? Everything just seemed to be fine. And then you have this kind of a more aggressive dream, and you're faced to look at it. So whatever you're not processing accurately, consciously, is what your dream brings up then. So if you're not dreaming, then you're processing everything pretty good. But when you start to dream a lot, there's definitely an issue within your reality that you need to look at. And the dream is what that is trying to convey that to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dreams, especially mine, have been intense lately. And, you know, Wendy, when I hear a lot of people say dreams are usually a way for your higher self to communicate with you, or when you talk about these times being a period when we are processing our greatest desires, I think it's important to note that those desires aren't necessarily things that you haven't experienced yet. And when I say that, you know, it could be something as crazy as if you're looking to get into a relationship that you're not in a relationship yet, and you may classify the fact that you've not been in a relationship with a particular person is the only desire that is going to come up for you to experience. But in what I have come to learn is that's not the case. A lot of these desires could also be, like you mentioned, aspects of yourself that you didn't express in a past situation or experience. And so in my case, right, my dreams were lately, I should say primarily last night, and we're recording this on December 3rd. So the night of December 2nd and the morning of December 3rd, I had a very interesting dream where I was really beating up somebody, right? And so that was a desire of mine that I wasn't even aware of. But it was one I didn't express in a situation where I may have been teased by somebody or some, you know, at some point in my life. And so that's one aspect of when we use the word desire, it's not always something that will, you know, we're still aspiring to experience, as in this is all we're thinking about, is to get that next thing. It could also be those moments when we didn't express ourselves fully, and then it comes up like, oh, you wanted to express this, but you didn't. So
yes,
here's your chance to do that.
Well, yeah. And I think at the end of this moon cycle, and I remember this moon cycle from last year, I just feel like it's total honesty with myself. Like, you know, we think we're being honest with ourselves, and then this moon cycle just shows us where we're not, like what your true feelings are, what your desires are, and they're just revealed into your consciousness. And it's a very healing moon cycle, but it also is sometimes a tough moon cycle, you know, to walk through all of this and to see where it's, you know, how your reality changes in different ways.
No kidding. Thank goodness for Pluto and Mars showing me where I'm not being honest with myself. And many times in different communities, you might hear this as shadow work. And it's legitimate, right?
Yes.
And I think it speaks to the bravery of the individual to actually look themselves when these aspects of themselves show up and then work through it. Which, before we even talk about what Jupiter's beauty's got in store for us, just a quick hint, if you can, Wendy, tell us how you work through these yourself. I mean, I know there are so many tools and there are so many ways you can navigate when you see an aspect of yourself that you're not really ready to deal with. But if you are ready to deal with it, what's one big insight that you think would be beneficial?
Okay, so one more thing I want to just share about this moon cycle is we have Mars and we have Pluto, and the virtue is unity. So you can kind of see where our conscious awareness, which is Mars, and then these deeper desires and this more subconscious stuff gets separated. And so what's happening in this moon cycle is those are coming together, and that's what the unity is. So that we become unified in our expression. We're not, you know, just idealizing things. We actually bring that deeper desires into what it is we're experiencing. So like in this particular moon cycle, when things appear to me, okay, I always step back and I'm like, I have everything that's happening on a practical level, which is kind of specific in circumstances. And then I try to see this higher aspect of myself, like the soul. What is the soul learning through me? And what is the curriculum of that learning for the soul? So that I have both perspectives, so I don't get lost in the practical. I always have that awareness of who I am on a higher level and what role I'm playing for the soul to learn, and also source, you know, consciousness itself. And so when we hold ourselves to the practical level and the relationships and everything in the practical level, that can sometimes stagnate our higher self, that higher learning potential and fulfilling those potentials in this lifetime. So it's always having that balance between the two. You can't always be with the higher self and the learning potentials, because then you're idealistic. You still have to be in that practical and really in that interfacing and relationship with everything.
Yeah. And I feel like when you were talking about connecting the dots and this whole unity aspect of Mars and Pluto is finding some balance between both at a certain level or time in your life. And that's going to kind of, it's going to get jumbled up again. And then you're going to raise your consciousness, find a new, you know, a new point of balance and go back. So,
yeah,
I appreciate that. All right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we got all of this. I always like to think about this time, and this is, you know, a metaphor taken from the work that you do, as the soil in our consciousness is being tilled and prepared for a new seed to be planted, which is the beginning of this new moon cycle with Jupiter's beauty. And so let's dive into it, Wendy.
So what we have just done is disrupted our consciousness on purpose, so that we can put it back together in a whole new way that's more pure to the divine aspect of ourself. And so Jupiter's beauty, Jupiter is very expansive, imaginative. Jupiter takes us out of the existing structures that we hold on to and gives us a new perspective on a much broader sense. So when I was talking about the higher self and that curriculum, and, you know, what part I play in or role for learning and education for universal consciousness, that's what Jupiter's beauty is all about, is we take what we just disrupted. And if you can imagine a plant that's decomposing into the soil, how it breaks apart and it's absorbed into that soil. So Jupiter's beauty is all about this new consciousness that we've established in this whole year, okay? Jupiter's beauty is going to absorb that into universal consciousness as contributing to the evolution of it in some way. And so when we experience Jupiter's beauty on a more practical level, we're going to feel more connected universally. So and have that, have a broader perspective on, you know, our self in a divine way. And so Jupiter's beauty, like I always talk about, there's the crescent and the gibbous moons are Jupiter days. And so when you go through a Jupiter day, it's like, you have to let go of your agenda and you just let your imagination run wild. Mm-hmm. And so this is a whole moon cycle of that, where uh-huh. we're going to break, we've already disrupted everything, okay, in our consciousness through Mars and Pluto. And we're going to put that together in a much bigger way. That's what Jupiter does, is Jupiter helps us put it back together in a more expanded understanding of ourselves. And then we see the beauty in all of it. How the whole, see, we're at the end, this is the last moon cycle. So then we can reflect back on the entire year with all the moon cycles. And we can see the beauty in all the spiritual growth once we get a more expanded perspective.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. And I don't know why I got this insight, but I'm going to try to share it. And it has to do with Jupiter's beauty and the whole idea of dying and rebirth.
Yes.
For some reason, that's what strikes me here. And I'm taking it from the perspective of we incarnate by leaving source as unique expressions of source. And we go have all of these experiences. And then we bring all that information back and assimilate it into source. And then mm-hmm. we take all that collective learning and then go have an individual experience. And then we bring it back and we assimilate it into source. And then the way you described it, right, as a leaf sort of dies and, you know, returns back to the earth, it's basically sharing all the information it learned being a leaf or a tree back into mm-hmm. the entire consciousness through the soil. And then it eventually is going to, you know, another seed's going to manifest. So that's what that felt to me like. And it's making me smile because it is the last moon cycle of the year. So we are returning all this information that we've had, and then we're going to prepare to start it all over again.
Yes. Yes. So if you can imagine, when we come around to that winter solstice, which is the 21st, we come around, the earth is orbiting the sun, and it's coming around to start a new cycle, okay? That's when the new seed, we've prepared our consciousness. Each of us has our own dynamics within our consciousness. We hit that winter solstice, we're going to have a seed planted within our consciousness, which are the learning potentials for the next year. And then each new moon of the moon cycles takes that major seed and takes a little part of it and opens it up for us. So it's constantly, because we can't handle that big seed all at once. The moon does all the work with the sequential opening up of it.
Yeah. That's so crazy. It's so cool though. It's like, this is like one beautiful, very practical way to, I mean, the best way for me to say it is to remember who you are and really express the who you are that you remember, and then make sense of why, at least on a very practical level. Why am I feeling this way? What's going on? How am I being influenced by, you know, celestial bodies and stuff? So,
well, it's just neat. The simplest reordering of your experiences, like many of the things that have happened in the Mars and Pluto's moon cycle, you know, you step back and go, okay, how is this part of the larger learning that's going on? How is this part of the evolution of my consciousness this year? You know, it gives you a reference point of when certain, you know, things are happening with you that you can step back and say, oh, okay, this is where this fits in. This is where it fits in my life. This is where it fits in the moon cycle. This is the, you know, the year. And you just have a lot of reference points then. You don't feel so confused or random with what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's neat. I know there's a chakra involved with this. Before we get to that, it would be nice if we talk about what to expect with this next week from December 4th up until probably the 11th. And then the week after that too. So the new moon week and the first quarter moon week.
Okay. So the new moon week is going to be very expansive thoughts and ideas and impressions. Like, and when I say that, what is going to happen is you might have a little more difficulty focusing on what you're doing. Like, you might plan an agenda and your agenda just kind of falls apart. I love the analogy with Jupiter of trying to tie your shoes, and the tighter you pull on it, the looser they get. So
we call that witchcraft, Wendy.
Well, that's really what Jupiter is all about. The more you try to hold Jupiter and contain it and control it and schedule it, the more it just falls apart. So it's more or less just accepting the fact that everything's going to be a little loose, and your imagination's going to take off in random ways throughout the whole moon cycle, mostly in that first new moon week, though, and to really just embrace that, because that's really what needs to happen, because you're building the new potentials of your growth in that first week. And the more that you let these unusual ideas or out-of-the-box thoughts come in, the more growth you're going to experience through the moon cycle. So this one, though, is just it's going to be a little more blown apart. So when I was working in manufacturing companies, I always marveled at, like, the 3 weeks before Christmas, everybody just kind of slowed down and nothing really got done around Christmas. And I was kind of like, what? And everybody just accepts that in any kind of business. It's like, yeah, nothing happens really over the holidays. You know, everything slows down. And now I understand why, because we're in the Jupiter's beauty moon cycle. So we're just supposed to let ourselves have a little more freedom instead of trying to be so productive.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I actually had this insight while working as a pharmacist. I just observed that right after Thanksgiving.
Yes. I know.
Like, things didn't get, it was just difficult to get everything done, right? Because people were taking vacations and everything just kind of slowed down. It's true. I didn't have a higher self understanding of why. It was just more, I observed that this is what's going on. So things just kind of, just a little bit.
Right.
And then, I probably shouldn't say this. I also advised a lot of patients, which was crazy, because it's the end of the year. And so they have deductibles that have met and they're trying to now do all these elective surgeries. And I was always like, December is probably the worst time to go get surgeries because everyone's like short staff.
I know.
Things are kind of slow. People are taking vacations. Everyone's a little bit stressed. Don't go do it. Don't wait till the end of the year.
Can you imagine a surgeon with Jupiter's beauty?
I know. You know? Let's not say that.
Okay, we won't go there. But
after we've already said it, right?
Yeah.
Healthcare companies are going to come after us. Okay.
So then what happens is that after the first week, the new moon week, that first quarter week, it brings all those out-of-the-box ideas into our reality. It's the conscious, awakening conscious activity. And so we're going to experience the activities that are associated with Jupiter's beauty are just a little unusual. So you might go into an activity and think, something you do all the time, and all of a sudden it gets a monkey wrench in it, or you feel like there's a slight detour in it. So everything that you try to do the same is going to change, probably. You're going to start feeling that it's trying to expand. So if you always go to the gym and you work out in a certain way, you're going to be presented with some way that expands you larger than what you have been doing.
Okay. Yeah, so well, I'm looking forward to that.
The more you hold on to structure, the more it's going to want...
dissipate.
Yes. Yeah.
Or not appear the way you want anyway. Right. That's good insight for me. I mean, over the last, I believe, maybe three episodes, Actually, way more than that. We've been talking about C2 Keep. So I want to take that as something to fall back to when I go talk about or work on C2 Keep.
So a great approach is what we were talking about before we started recording is in Jupiter's beauty, don't look at what is wrong with something. Look at what is with something. So like in the app, the software you're building, you know, you can test it and say, well, this isn't working. This isn't working. That's not working. Really what the great approach to it is make a list of everything it is, what is working, and then build on that.
Yeah.
And then you're in the same mind frame as Jupiter.
Indeed.
Because Jupiter is not looking at the differences or what isn't right. Because it's Jupiter doesn't measure against what's already there or an expectation that you're holding.
Oh, no. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Consciousness doesn't.
Right.
Well, that's neat. And then I think we can talk about the chakra that's going to be associated. This I'm kind of excited to hear about, you know, because it's the last.
It's your crown chakra. And the crown chakra is the connection to the higher chakras that go beyond your physical experience. And so a lot of people talk about the crown chakra as the top of their head opening up, like you can feel it peeling away like a flower. And then it's just completely open for any type of vibrational energy that flows in and out. Or actually, I don't really, vibration isn't flowing. It's more of you tap into it. You tap into higher knowledge and wisdom is basically what that crown chakra does when it's open and it's uninhibited in ways. And because there's so much higher knowledge and wisdom available, and once you tap into that higher knowledge and wisdom, it changes your perspective of physicalness, and it becomes more holographic in dimensional in ways.
Yeah. Man, I'm excited.
So can you see the connection between Jupiter's dynamics and opening the crown chakra? Because when we hold ourselves to existing structures, we're holding that crown chakra closed. But when we're embracing Jupiter, which is expansive, imaginative, you know, unlimited, what are my possibilities? My truth is, you know, I'm an expression of consciousness and it's unlimited. And so that understanding is what opens your crown chakra.
Yeah. No, that's neat. I'm excited for this. And I always throw out meditation. So this would be a great entire month to do crown chakra meditations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what else happens? Oh, man. Look at that, Wendy. We're right at 30 minutes. I think.
Really?
I think, yes.
Well, one more thing real quick is this moon cycle is a spiral.
Okay.
And usually I don't introduce that to the full moon. But I just want to introduce that into everyone's awareness because, you know, a spiral spirals out and a spiral spirals in. And so that's what's really happening within this moon cycle. It's very huge, this particular spiral dynamic.
Okay. No, that's great. And during the full moon conversation, we're going to dive deep more into that. Is that the, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. I think as always, right, really great job, Wendy. I'm very grateful for these conversations that we get to have. We talked about the last moon cycle and how it prepared us for this, how that one was a doozy, rightfully so. And then here we are kind of rounding the year, you know, the end of the year in a more expansive, beautiful, you know, moon cycle influenced by Jupiter. And I really like that analogy explaining that it's like a death and a rebirth, essentially, right? You're returning all the information you've learned throughout the year, and then you're gonna, like you said, you're gonna have some crazy thoughts. Don't hold on too much to expectations. Just kind of relax and be, you know, as always, compassionate to yourself and kind. And take what happens with a grain of salt. Easier said than done.
I know. That's what I was going to say too.
Yeah, easier said than done. But, and then the chakra, of course, is the crown chakra. So, yeah. Wendy, anything else before we close? No?
Have a wonderful new moon, Roland. And it's always wonderful talking with you.
Likewise. Yeah, we'll be back before the Christmas day hits, recording one for the full moon in the last 2 weeks. And for anyone who is listening, please connect with Wendy, miweandus.org. I'll have links to her website in the notes section of this podcast. You can connect with me too, roland@chenjack.com. As always, we invite you to create an amazing day.
Thank you, Roland.